You're tuned into the Awakening Zone Radio Network, your news and information source for empowered spiritual awakening.
Hello, this is Karen Elkins, and this is Science to Sage Radio, and welcome to everybody to the Awakening Zone. If you're on Blog Talk Radio, dial in to theawakeningzone.com, and we'd love to have you in. Now, here's a question. Today, we have a couple extraordinary guests because we have Steve Elswick and Vernon Ross. And Steve is doing a conference in Albuquerque in August 30th, which looks like it will be extraordinary. He's got many, many, many topics that he deals with that I think relate to some common denominators. I'm going to let Steve introduce himself first, and then Vern Ross introduce himself. And we'll start from there because I think there's a lot of new technologies that have been out. Some of them are merging more in the forefront. It looks like some of them are merging together in a way that I think will lead to some sort of common understanding. So anyway, welcome, gentlemen. And if you're there, why don't you explain a little bit about your conference, and we'll go into detail with it with Vern, because I think he's a master of ceremony. So why don't you give us a little clue about what the conference is about?
Okay, well, I put together the Extraordinary Technology Conference. It's supposed to be dovetailing with our magazine that we published too, which would be Extraordinary Science and Technology. We cover alternative energy and medicine, and we're trying to bring about a revolution in the way people approach these things. For instance, our officer manager, Terry Brady, fell deathly ill, and he was on his deathbed 2 months ago. And since then, we got him in a home hospice program, and he's been relying totally on nutrition and alternative methods, and now he's recovering quite rapidly. The bloating from his liver failure and everything has totally gone, and he's now starting to walk again, albeit on crutches, but he'll be at the conference in that. That's the type of stuff we're trying to do is generate a revolution, and we do this every year, and Vernon is our master of ceremonies, and here's Vernon.
So Vernon, why don't you tell us a little bit about you?
Sorry, say again?
Go ahead, Vernon.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Vernon Roth, and I'll be the master of ceremonies for the Extraordinary Technology Conference this year. It's shaping up to be a really fantastic conference. One of my favorite subjects, and one of the subjects most dear to my heart, is going to be front and center, which is different ways to utilize water in the emerging extraordinary technologies that are happening around the world. I've been working with water in various forms for the last nine years as we've developed different methodologies for healing, and not just healing ourselves but healing the planet, cleaning up environmental waste toxins that get into the environment, and also cleaning up industrial waste. So water is very, very important to me, and it's going to be front and center in this conference, as well as some really other amazing technologies. So this is very, very exciting.
Vernon, here's a question for you, because this is something we were talking about before the show was starting, and it seems to me, after having done two issues on water, that water is the primary template for all of life. Can you explain how that works?
Absolutely. Well, I can talk about that for sure. There's a theory that says that life on this planet is actually the result of how sunlight from our sun interacts with water in its various forms. And all of the diversity that we see on our planet comes from that interaction and how water responds to light and energy. And I firmly believe that on many levels. Because water is very, very powerful and dynamic. The alchemists called it the universal solvent. It can break down anything and can dissolve anything back to its essential root components. It is also incredibly powerful as a tool to gather etheric energy. And I am an adherent to the idea of ether energy being the basis of all matter and energy in our universe, as was the predominant physics theory before Einsteinian physics came along. And so water itself, in its various structures and how it bonds with itself, can be used in many different ways, from power generation to literally, as we're starting to see, actually creating elements from the essential components of hydrogen and oxygen if you can create the right structure, if you can create the right template. So water is very important from many standpoints.
You know, here's what was coming to me when I was thinking about it was when I think of water and I think of the torus field and I think of both being one and the same in the sense that water has its polarities and like the infinity symbol, it has the illusion of having duality, but in actuality it's one just generating a spin. And my question is within that generation of spin, there must be different alchemical ways that water in different states or different places of it generate certain energies.
Yes, that's absolutely true. Remember that particle physics versus wave physics are actually studying the same phenomenon. A particle is simply a wave with taken as a snapshot. So if you mm-hmm. see a person walking down the road, walking very, very briskly, and you take a snapshot of them, you assume that this person is hurrying along at a very, very brisk pace. You can see maybe a concerned look in their face. If you can see how their stance is, they're moving very briskly, and you get an idea from that single snapshot what that person is like. Conversely, if you were to take a picture of them relaxing on a chair, you would get a completely different image of them that may contradict the first one. Now, both images are correct. You have to take the whole dynamic and say this is the whole person, not this individual snapshot. So looking at things as a particle is two-dimensional. What you have to do is you have to look at things as a three or fourth dimensional object, and that's what we can do with the torus, and as the torus being a single composite vortex that is generating power. So as you can imagine, as you can imagine using water and elements that are in different spin states, spinning one direction versus another direction, you can utilize this for different purposes. For instance, a magnet, your North Pole magnet is going to be very calming and healing on the human body versus your South Pole magnet, which is the same energy, just moving in a different spin, in a different torus fashion, torus direction. You have an overstimulation on the human body. So there's different aspects and different utilizations for different types of energy, and it all comes back to the same unifying force, just how it manifests in our reality.
But that's also how our cells are structured. Everything is structured that way. Reminds me think of Buddha, where we're always seeking balance within that state, within our own field.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
well,
make sense?
Remember that I love the Buddhist idea of seeking balance. Also remember, and I like to work this into most of my presentations, all forward progression comes from a body that has been taken out of balance and its desire to return to balance. So mm-hmm. in our world, we find that we move out of balance and we've created a problem in some way, and we've progressed in our understanding of reality in our desire to return to balance.
Mm. And I know you work on the idea of subtle energies and healing. So how would you suggest somebody does that?
Well, that is a huge topic. Subtle energies and healing is a vast and dynamic issue. To start with, you can look at the work of Wilhelm Reich and his orgone accumulator devices. But basically, it comes back to the idea that all matter is created from energy. And if we can find, if we can find the right balance of energy to put into our bodies, we can cause healing, and we can cause reversal of aging under certain conditions. But you need to find the right balance of energy. You can't use all of one type or all of another type of energy. And Wilhelm Reich described several different aspects of the ether being orgone, and also DOR, which is deadly orgone. And so there are different aspects, manifestations of those aspects.
Would that be
the subtle energy?
Would that be
yes?
The polarities of that again?
Say again.
That would be the polarities of that again, then, right?
Well,
polarities
or signatures. How do I describe this? Your subtle energies are going to manifest in different ways depending on how they're drawn in. So ether will manifest in the human body as chi or prana, as if it's drawn in a certain way, in your breath and then focused in your body. Ether energy manifests in physical form in other ways. For instance, as orgone, using multiple layers of different material to structure that ether. But if you structure the ether the wrong way, perhaps it's a different spin, or if you give it a signature of something something negative, it can be structured in the wrong way. So it comes back to the idea of finding the energy that brings balance to you. Some people
okay.
are too yin or yang. I don't use those terms very often, but some people are more more energetically focused, and they need to find balance and centering. Some people are very balanced and centered, but they need to find more active ways to express themselves. So it's finding what works best for the individual, or for the individual disease, and accentuating strengths, and then finding balance with the person and their environment.
You know, it's interesting. It was when you think of water, which goes back, I think, to the same topic, and water is made of hydrogen and oxygen, or right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And basically what we're doing with this inhaling and this exhaling, which still deals with the Taurus field, it still has to do with breathing in the breath of life. Now, whether we're breathing it in with our own alchemical structure, or whether you're saying we're bringing it in from the ether, either way it can take us up into imbalance, right?
Each way has its characteristics and what it can do for you. Yes.
Okay, that's what I was thinking. And then it goes back to the whole idea of breath.
Did you say breath?
Yeah, because I was looking at your website, and there was a lady who does voice analysis and can tell you from your voice what it is.
That's my sister. That's my sister, Leah Roth. And what she can do, see, your voice, actually, all of your body is a fractal of the rest of it. And what she does is she takes a recording, she does an analysis of your voice and uses that and analyzes that as a fractal of what's going on in the rest of your body, like a template. And she can tell you where you're out of balance, based on the frequencies in your voice. It's a very scientific and exact process. Based on the frequencies in your voice, she can tell you where you're out of balance emotionally, physiologically, both relating to diseases and minerals and elements and nutrients in your body, as well as emotional reactions, how you respond to this stimulus, how you respond to that person, and she can help bring you back into balance by finding the proper frequencies, frequencies coupled with etheric energy, which is very, very important. It's very, very key to working with the human body, is imprinting etheric energy that comes into your body, and she can bring you back into balance. It's a very powerful and dynamic process. It's helped many, many people. We worked with it on ourselves for healing and detoxification, as well as emotional issues as well.
Well, it's interesting to me because I was reading Judith Kravitz's book on breathwork, and what was fascinating to me is that when she goes into different cultures, because you have an accent, certain cultures might have a certain proclivity for a certain emotional bend.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting and observant. The human languages, the language that you use, and how you speak and express yourself, literally, they're discovering this now, literally writes your DNA code. And so
you have to be
very, very cautious of the languages that you speak, the words that you use and your expressions and how you communicate with the world. It's very, very important to be cautious and mindful of what you say and how you speak.
Yeah, I think when I'm working on the idea of elements, and when you look at the Eastern tradition, it very much says they have the five elements, right? So earth, fire, water, air, and space. So I think the space would be the etheric, which you're dividing etheric from water in a sense that they're not the same, but they have a lot of the similar qualities. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ether energy has a lot of similar qualities to water, absolutely. And that's why they have such an affinity for each other.
Well, I would think that, but what makes water is also the hydrogen and the oxygen, which I think is ironic because then it looks like there's not a whole lot of difference between one seems to be the container, one seems to be the gas that ignites the template, which is also the Fibonacci series, which is, the golden mean, which how we evolve into the 3, 3, and 3, right? 3, 6, and 9?
Mm-hmm. That is true, yes. And that also relates to the bond angle or the bonds between hydrogen and oxygen in the water molecule.
Which is also triangular. I find triangles everywhere, which, again, you go back to fractals. What are they? Triangles.
Yes, your triangles, we're going in a completely different direction than I prepared for here, but yes, your triangles are very, very important because your triangles are actually angles of interaction with reality. And so you can create pyramids. Every angle on a pyramid does something different. So you can create a pyramid that will dry something out. You can create a pyramid that will interact with the time constant of our earthly plane. You can create a pyramid that will interact with the water and DNA structures. And that's one of the things that we've actually worked with and played with over the years. But every angle of interaction dictates something else. And basically, it's because you're structuring the ether in a slightly different way, a subtly different way.
Well, you're into ancient technology, so and I would assume that the pyramids of around the world had some sort of technology that was transmitting and generating. Am I correct?
Yes. you are correct. Absolutely. There are many, many different theories about what all of them were for. Some were for gathering water. Some were for preservation. Some literally block magnetic fields and were used for very specific purposes wherein a magnetic field was not desirable. So I've been playing with the idea that the pyramids were constructed around the world to help stabilize the planet in its energy field and keep the poles from shifting radically. There are many theories, but yes, it all comes back to how angles structure ether and manipulate reality.
And that goes back to the fractal nature of the universe.
Yes, that is true. That is very true.
Okay. So let's go back into the idea of what's happening with the show, because you have a lot of these technologies that are, I put it this way, the way I'm looking at it, they're individual disciplines with each one of these kind of constructs. So when I look at somebody like Beverly Rubick's work on, Beyond the Memory of Water, she's basically looking at how it stores information and transmits. Do you want to bring more clarity to that?
Let me look up Beverly Rubick's work real quick here.
While you're looking, I'll give you, because I've looked at it a little bit from what I understand, is, again, water. You know what? I'll put it this way. There's a section you and I talked about, which is about the easy zone, where there's these layers that get created, which I think are like written in the template. If you're in a particular zone, you can materialize. Is that, that's what I'm thinking.
Yes, that is true. With water, you can create a template, and I know some of the foremost experts in water structuring around the world. You can create a template. I don't usually use the word homeopathic, but a self-perpetuating template of different nutrients and elements. If your water is structured correctly, with a signature of the element. And so therefore you may not have the water, may be pure water and be pure distilled water, but when it is given the life force of working with the human body or living elements, for instance plants and animals and whatnot, then they take on the characteristics of the nutrients that you've imprinted them with. So you may not have the elements of calcium and magnesium in there, but if you can imprint them, when that water interacts with the living structure, that living structure behaves as if it has plenty of magnesium and calcium, whatever it needs. So we've taken this another step further in radionics technologies with the work of Galen T. Hieronymus, wherein we can take and we can imprint the air, or we can imprint the ether in a certain area with elements that the plants need by placing those elements along with water, deionized water in a broadcast unit. We can broadcast the signature to the plants, and the plants may not have the nutrients in the soil they need, but they're actually getting the nutrients from the ether because the ether's carrying the signature. And this is incredibly important today in our world right now because of our nutrient deficiencies. I mean, 100 years ago, you could eat a bowl of spinach like Popeye in the cartoons. He eats a can of spinach in order to get the same amount of nutrient content as he did 100 or 80 years ago. You would now have to eat 125 bowls of that same spinach, and which is terrible because we've got a fraction of the amount of nutrients and we've got the same caloric content. So this bodes not well for humanity. And so we have to find ways to enhance the nutrient content of plants and foods that we eat. And the structuring of the water, the memory of water, the giving it the template that it needs to work with those, to create those elements in a living structure, that's part of the puzzle. That's part of the work that we have to do.
Well, what seemed to me is that water seems to literally be the solution for the world's problems, because frequencies can be switched, whether it's the ocean waters, whether it's your ether, or whether it's your body. These resonant energies, being frequency-based beings, is like, what's it?
Absolutely.
So a lot of
I've got three technologies that exist right now on the shelf that I mean, not me personally. This is going to be one of my lectures at the conference this year. Three technologies that would change the world that exist right now. The first is the proper use of effective microbes. The second is the implementation of hydrogen-oxygen systems. And the third is structuring of water. These three technologies could change the planet overnight, and they exist right now, and they're the easiest things in the world to work with.
Well, why don't you start with the first one? Give us a little bit more insight on your microbes.
Effective microbes are really very powerful and very very overlooked. One of my fields of study is the field of alchemy, which is which, you know, we confuse it with the idea of a bunch of guys in a dark, dusty laboratory working with glassware and furnaces and boiling out mercury and dying of mercury poisoning and trying to make lead into gold. But that's not real alchemy. That's the Hollywood version of alchemy. Alchemy takes place on a daily basis in all living systems. It's quite dynamic, and studying it is really studying the true nature of nature. But we could go off on that. But basically, effective microbes is the idea of fermentation, working with different microbes in the human body. And I'm terrible with names, so I always forget the names of the different microbial substances. But if you look up effective microbes, EM1, and the various different products of effective microbes out there, they give a comprehensive listing of what we're working with here. But effective microbes are very dynamic in their uses. If you take effective microbes into your body, they can actually help reverse the poisoning that occurs from eating genetically modified foods, because they carry the proper template. Microbes carry the proper template for life, whereas genetically modifying foods and crossbreeding plants and with animal or crossbreeding animals with plants and different methods of genetic modification is the antithesis of life. It's not what's supposed to happen. So by taking effective microbes into your body in proper dosages, once again we're after balance or finding balance, by taking these effective microbes into your body, you can actually reverse the damage of GMO poisoning. Effective microbes breaks things down very, very quickly. Instead of taking 2 or 3 years for human waste to become usable as a fertilizer for planting foods, you can break down all sorts of waste in a matter of weeks. We can have a compost pile that, instead of being ready for tilling back into the ground in 2 years, you can use effective microbes to break things down to their essential earthen components and be ready to use it in a matter of weeks. They're very powerful and dynamic. We have huge amounts of waste coming from our cows, and I'm not advocating eating meat or not eating meat, but we have a huge amount of waste from our meat industry that basically is just washed away, and it's a huge resource. If we were to utilize effective microbes, throw a rubber sheet over a dung heap and inject effective microbes into that, and within a few days you have a power generation system coming off from the methane from that.
Mm-hmm.
These are just a few of the little examples. A friend of mine, Douglas Bettler, who actually just died a couple months ago, he was influential in using effective microbes in greening the desert projects. And he has pictures of them digging trenches in the sand of the Middle Eastern deserts and growing cabbage and lettuce and plants right there in the sand, and all they're doing is using effective microbes. It's really amazing. So that's my first pick for revolutionizing the planet. You can see effective microbes when you use them to break down herbs and different nutrients for the human body. They become more bioavailable. One of our issues in our body is that we do not readily absorb all of the food that is all of the nutrients that we take into ourselves. So, for instance, if your body was completely clean and pristine, you could actually exist on a handful of food a day with complete nutrient sufficiency. But unfortunately, our bodies are not able to assimilate that nutrients as well as they should be. Effective microbes actually change that. If you can break down nutrients, if you can break down herbs, if you can break down these essential components of life, using effective microbes and then take them into yourself in a fermented fashion, you can be much more healthy on a fraction of the food that a normal person would take. So that's my first pick, is effective microbes and utilizing those properly.
Vernon, hold on 1 second. You know what, that reminds me of something I was reading that goes back to the notion that the way nature works, it creates no waste. And so what you're saying is with this idea, we're actually beginning to understand how nature works and then mimic it and work in tandem with it.
Yes, exactly. I'm a closet Rosicrucian. No, I'm kidding. I'm not. The Rosicrucians long ago said, "I will study nature's ways, for nature is perfect." The ways of nature are death. I will emphasize that. But death is always accompanied by rebirth in some way, and so finding that change, and we have to do this in our energy research too. Finding a way to change the pattern of energy is absolutely key. So the dying and the rebirth process, that's what fermentation is about. The nutrients are broken down by the microbes. They die and are reborn as more dynamic and vibrant living systems. So we do that same process with free energy over unity technology. Energy wants to be used and reborn, and so that ideology is key to understanding free energy research as well. So my second, exactly. Doesn't that just resonate?
The cycle, right?
Say that again. You broke up.
It sort of like perpetuates the cycle, and when you look at all the spiritual traditions, they're always talking about rebirth, but when you look at how maybe some of the things got taken out of context or deleted, their energy never does die. So it's just going through these cycles, am I correct?
That's correct. No energy is destroyed. Excuse me, it simply goes through its phase change, and I actually have a lecture on that where I talk about vortexes and how energy collapses into the vortex, into what we see as nothingness, and then returns on the other side. And that's very, very important for understanding free energy. It wants to change. It wants to die. It wants to disappear and be reborn. And we think conventional physics says, oh, it's dead, it's gone. But the reality is it's gone and it needs to be reborn, and you've got to create a method or create a technology that allows it to manifest on the other side. So conventional physics kind of chops off half the equation. So that's the same thing. That's the same thing with our reality. We're looking for vibrancy. We're looking for life in our health and well-being. We have to realize that everything changes. You can't maintain something in a perpetual homeostasis state. Homeostasis is death. The only time something stays the same is when it's at that moment of death. It wants to. You have to find a way to allow it to go through its changes and cycles and be reborn more powerfully on the other side.
Well,
I don't know
like
if that makes any sense.
Well,
I'm sorry. Say that again.
It sounds like our own personal alchemy.
Yes, indeed. We are our own personal alchemical laboratory. We create nature. We create life within ourselves, and we have to find ways to accentuate that. Alchemy is everything. There are a number of experiments in the past where they showed that chickens could create calcium in their bodies if they had plenty of potassium, biological transmutation of elements. Same thing with our thought processes. If we get locked into our old thought processes, we can't progress any further because our understanding of reality is stymied. But when we figure out how to transmute it, how we can die to the old ways and be reborn to the new, then our understanding grows. We are alchemists. that just don't know our own power.
I love it.
Nicely put. Okay, so then if we go back, and we're going to go back a little bit to the what is over unity? Because, you know, I see that here. What is over unity? Because we're talking then, yeah, what is over unity?
Well, over unity is a scary term in the scientific world because it says that you'll get more out than you put in. And let's look at it like a car. If you have 100 units of energy and as gasoline, you put it into a tank, but it eventually goes into the engine of your car. Now, in a closed system, in that car, there is always waste. There's always going to be waste. So with 100 units of energy you're going to pour into that engine, 30 units of that is going to be lost as heat. Okay? So 30 units, boom, goes away. Now, another 33 units of energy are, boom, lost as heat. Another 33 units of energy are going to be lost out the tailpipe as waste. So imagine that next time you fill up your gas tank at the gas pump, that if you bought 10 gallons of gas, you can you've literally just poured 3 gallons of gas on the ground or allowed it to evaporate into the air by driving your car. The last 33 units of that energy are going to go to your wheels. Okay, they're going to propel you forward. They're going to take you from point A to point B. So it doesn't seem like a very efficient system, does it? So let's say you could find a way to recover the energy from the heat. And there are ways to do this, number of different ways to do it that have both been developed and are in development now. Let's say that you could recover all of the lost heat and put that to your wheels. Suddenly you would double the distance that you could go on that same energy, but you're still not to what we call unity. You're still not in balance because you still have the tailpipe, you still have the waste going out your tailpipe. Now suppose you could take all that stuff that would go out the tailpipe and you put that to your wheels. Then what you have is unity. You have 100 units of gas and converted into energy that propels you forward, and 100 units of energy propelling you down the road. So that is what we call unity. It is a theoretical idea to most physicists, but it's not possible because they say, oh, you can't have it because you'll always have waste. Well, that's not a reality because some of the things here at this conference actually show you how by drawing energy from the ether, see, let me back up here. Unity, they will always say, it's in a closed system. Your car is theoretically a closed system, but we know it's not a closed system because ether energy surrounds us and flows through us at all times. So your car it's never actually closed. A closed system does not exist in this universe. So if you can find a way, to tap into the ether, then you can achieve what is called over unity. Instead of 100 units of energy going into your car, and having 100 units of energy propelling yourself down the road, you tap into the ether. Then you can have an unlimited amount of energy. And you're only limited by the ways that you can harness it. So that's the idea of over-unity. We throw that term around a lot, and there are what we call over-unity devices. It's from a third-dimensional perspective. Ether is a five-dimensional substance, and we're using three-dimensional words to describe it. So it's a little bit of a translation error there, but you kind of get the general idea.
Vernon, you're talking a lot of stuff at the conference that talks about how they're making batteries or cells out of water.
There's a lot of different ways to make cells out of water. I know you and I were talking about Gerald Pollack's work, where he was actually talking about he was actually talking about water batteries. Water is a unique substance because it can, let me back up a little bit. All matter in the universe can be broken down into three categories: paramagnetic, magnetic, and diamagnetic. Okay? I know that they're kind of abstract terms, but we know what magnetic is, which they respond to a magnet. Paramagnetic responds to a magnet that, or responds to an electrical field that then becomes magnetic. But diamagnetic is a substance that moves away from a magnetic field. So what Gerald Pollack has discovered is the fact that, he's not the first person to discover it, but what he is actually quantifying is the fact that water itself can be three different forms at any given time. Water can be magnetic, it can be paramagnetic, or it can be diamagnetic. Now, if you want to generate power, you have to create a differential. You have to create a high point in one location and a low point in another. And using the diamagnetic and magnetic properties of water, you can do that. And that's what he's exploring. I know that sounds kind of highbrow. It's really hard to describe without pictures. But by taking these three different forms of water, and once again, we're talking about spin, remember? We're talking about spin,
yeah,
and crystalline structure. Okay, by taking these three different forms of water and maintaining them in a battery, you can use water to store energy and release it as needed. And we've been doing that for a long time. No, we've got, I don't know if you've ever seen the Spark of Life water that we create. You might have seen it mentioned on our website. If you want to actually, you can actually Google Spark of Life or Lightning Water. You might actually find a video of us zapping people with this charge stored in water. Because about nine or 10 years ago, we discovered a way to consistently charge energy with, or charge water rather, with etheric energy, and then release it as needed and into the human body for health and healing. And you can actually see this electric spark come off the top of the water. It's quite amazing, and it's really fun. I usually start my lectures by zapping a circle of people in the beginning, just to show them that what we're talking about here is beyond the realm of conventional Einsteinian physics. They don't allow for that to happen. So it's really,
but it
really
also
fun
sounds
and exciting.
Like that's what we are. We're basically mostly water that emanate a gas discharge.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Isn't that
we
true?
We are water. And if you look at the structure of our cells, if you look at the structure of our cells, what you find is water that's formed into unique layers of different structures. And in the microtubules of our cells, they're topped with a single molecule of deionized water, and how healthy we are literally depends on the angle of interaction between the hydrogen and oxygen atoms in that single molecule of water. And so literally our health is dictated by the type and the energetic component of the water that we have in our bodies.
Yeah. You know whose work I like that shows that is Konstantin Korsakov with his electric gas discharge device. I think, you know, that's also been at the conference at one time.
Konstantin Korsakov? Has he been at our conference?
I think he's been at the conference once before, or he hasn't been, but his device has been.
Okay. He and I lectured together at the International Alchemy Conference a couple years back. And we had a fantastic conversation in private. Oh, my goodness. Paradigm shifting. That man's work is amazing. I wanted to get him there this year. I'm hoping to get him there next year. He's incredibly busy. but his work is a paradigm shifter. It's fantastic.
Well, there is Chris, his partner in the States is Krishna Madhapak, and he's out of Tahoe, so I'm sure you could get Krishna with no problem.
Okay.
He's got the GDP bit, and the new BioWell and all those goody things. But, you know, it just seems to me that when we here's the question for me, Vernon, because it seems like if we understood the human cell, and we do, then couldn't we mimic that to make energy?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah?
Indeed, because the human body, if you look at what the human body does on what it actually takes in, the human body is an over-unity device that constantly draws in ether. And
mm-hmm.
our bodies age and deteriorate as the device breaks down, but when the device is operating properly, we ourselves are over-unity devices. It's really quite amazing. And if we could simulate everything that goes on in the human body, once again, going back to those microbes and how water and hydrogen and oxygen interact, you can do amazing things.
Well, I had the privilege of doing a workshop this weekend with Dr. Joe Dispenza, and what I loved when he's talking about how do we generate a field around ourselves to have a field effect to draw the ether in or draw time into it as we would prefer it to be. I love the idea. What came to my mind is we're generators, and we have this water in this field that we're basically, it's either coming to us or we can generate some of our own information within the field, and it too can go out. I think it goes back and forth as we breathe in and out, but I love the idea that we're generators.
We are generators, and our intention as we breathe is very, very, very important. The thoughts that we hold, for instance, Isari Emoto's work with water crystallization and seeing that the human body or that the human thought and emotion structures water in certain ways and negative emotions structure them in other ways, all of that is incredibly important as we, every breath we realize should be intentional. Every time we drink water, it should be with intention. And setting that intention is kind of what I talk about with the signature. It's not just thought. Thought is one aspect. The emotional aspect of what we do with ourselves, the emotional aspect of how we breathe, of how we take into our bodies, whether water or food or whatever, these things are important. Thought itself is certainly important, but the emotional content is also very important.
Well, I think in the conference you've got session 8, which has to do with vibrational technologies, which is to me what we're talking about, the nature of dynamics of vibration, energy, and water, and
mm-hmm.
the photon genius. You could elaborate on that from that perspective, because everything turns out to be vibration, right?
Does turn out to be vibration. You've got to, but you've got to kind of quantify that term. The photon genie is a really powerful and dynamic device. Basically, using light, and this goes back to Dinshaw's work 100 years ago, wherein he could cure any disease and repair any injury using light in some way. And what they're doing with that is they're actually taking many different frequencies of light, measurable spectrums of light, and inputting it into the human body and allowing that to feed and resonate your cells so that they stay at their optimal performance level and optimal condition to encourage life in the human body. Dinshaw had something that most people don't know, and I will let you know this right now, because we got a hold of an original Dinshaw device. He would send light through these lenses. They didn't have LEDs at that time. Remember, they didn't have light that was that could be signatured to specific wavelengths. What they had to do is they had to send full spectrum light through a lens, or excuse me, through a filter. different colored filters. But what very few people know is that before that light went through the filters, it went through a chamber of deionized water, so that the light itself was moving like it was moving at a specific frequency pattern, which responded to your cells. Remember, I said deionized water at the top of every microtubule in your cell. He sent that light through deionized water so that the light itself was resonant with your cells, and then he signatured it with his filters. And so once again, we come back to water being one of the most important aspects of life in our world. And so the Photon Genie uses the same principle to resonate light, different spectrums of light going into the human body, and then your cells can take that light and utilize it for optimal performance. It's really it's a great device.
Can I ask a silly question? You know, when you say deionized, does that mean it doesn't have a charge to it particularly? So when it goes through it, it takes on the property that purely that's transmitted through it?
It's not. Did you say purist?
I'm thinking there was this, what makes deionized, what is deionized? And I'm making an assumption, which is, might be silly. So why deionized water? What is the property being deionized? No charge?
Well, it's essentially a neutral state, and you don't want. Well, every water can be used for specific things, but you don't want distilled water for this process, because distilled water is not in a neutral state. It's looking for something to balance it. Okay. Yeah. So that's why they can literally create water, distilled water that is so pure that it will literally act as an acid, because it wants to return to its state of having other elements inside of it. So your deionized water is essentially it's going to be in a neutral state.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Interesting. Okay. Because the other one could make it.
You can structure any water, but the water at the end of your microtubules is essentially deionized.
Okay. But I think even though you can, one thing I think the audience should know is you can definitely program water, but it doesn't stay programmed forever, because it is dynamic in itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you can.
So people think they can go buy structured water and it will stay that way, but the truth is it doesn't. So
there are tricks to keep water structured. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends. And so this is once again a very gray area out there in the health conscious world. Is we buy structured water, and how it was made dictates how long it will stay. So essentially, what you have to do is you have to imprint that water with a structure, but you also have to have an etheric component that keeps it there strong enough. So for instance, if you're structuring water with a vortex. With a vortex and a magnet, then you're going to have a pretty strong structured water. If you're structuring water by putting it into a vat with the words love and peace written all over it, that's fine, that's all well and good, but you're not going to have the component that's going to keep it that way when you hold it in your hand and you take it into yourself away from that structuring methodology. So it's great to have love and peace and joy written on the outside of your drinking water bottles, as a lot of people are doing in this alternative health field. You know, that's great. But remember, if you don't have love, peace, and joy inside of your own vessel, it's going to change that vibration. It's going to change that structure really quickly. Okay.
Right.
Because. So you've got love, peace, and joy on the outer vessel. You also have to have those on the inner vessel as well. So it's really important.
Okay.
There's a number of different structured waters out there. I know Clayton Nolte spoke last year, and I think he's going to be there at this conference. There are others that are even more powerful and dynamic, but they maintain a very low key. But I'll have a listing of them in my lecture at the conference.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have a question. You said you had three things. We got through the microbes. Did we get through the other two?
Hydrogen and oxygen is the second one. The effective use of hydrogen and oxygen, that would be the Brown's gas or HHO technologies. We're going to dive deep into that one at this conference. I've got plasma technology based on HHO. I'll be talking about how to implement that. And I'll also give everyone an update on the elemental manufacturing using hydrogen technology, because that has come a long way in the last couple of years. There's a number of people around the world that are experimenting with it, and we're feeding each other information and talking about how to take it to the next level. I'll be presenting all that information there. So hydrogen and oxygen is very important. On that note, once again, comes back to water. We now have the ability to mine the water of the ocean. We don't have to dig in the earth for our elements anymore. We can literally pull them out of the water of the ocean. And the hydrogen and oxygen technology that we've talked about, that I've talked about at the conference and whatnot, that is what gives us that ability. And the last technology that I would accentuate would be the structuring of the water and maintaining the structure of the water and to create elements and nutrients in the human body. Elements and nutrients in any living system. Those are some of the most important things that we could do, and they're all off-the-shelf technologies that exist right now that could change this planet, or if you wanted to create a sustainable community, build a community around those three technologies, and you would be sufficient. You'd be sufficient forever.
Wow. Well, there's a conversation right there that we can have off air later, because I have people who want to create a master template, and then look for funding for that. So that could be a fun conversation.
Excellent. Well, have them come to the conference. Have them come to the conference down there, and we have this amazing little gathering every night at this conference. It's called the Inventor Meet and Greet, and these inventors and creators from around the world are all there together in one room. We sit down, we talk, we chat, we eat, we throw out ideas, and it's fantastic. This is not reproduced in any other venue that I've ever seen, where people have access to some of the most fantastic minds on the entire planet. And remember, these people that are talking at this conference, these are not highbrow scientific ideas that are 50 years off that might, have some relevance someday. Everybody that's speaking there has worked in this field, has tech, has experiences, and everything that they're talking about is not theoretical, it's actually real. That is the most amazing thing about what Steve has done for this at this Extraordinary Technology Conference, is that we actually have real stuff, real people there talking about solid, tangible technologies rather than highbrow ideas that we'd like to create someday. It's really unique and powerful that way.
It sounds amazing.
It really is. It really is. I look forward to this every year. It's like my annual trip to Mecca.
Well, Steve, are you there?
I'm here. I just want to tell people.
Why don't you help us sort of wrap it up here and tell people how to find you, how to sign in. I think you still have your discount, 20% off for the event. So why don't you give us a little clue about what's happening?
Okay, just call us at 520-252-0374 or you can go to our website, teslacheck.info, and get this information.
Well, this
okay?
was amazing.
And teslacheck.info, teslacheck.info is one of the most comprehensive resources for technological information on the planet. It's really fantastic what Steve has done to bring this to the world. A lot of this technology was almost lost. A lot of these ideas were being, you know, pushed aside, and Steve has really resurrected this this new energy fervor that can revolutionize the planet. So he's a really fantastic individual for doing all this.
Wow. Well, it sounds amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I want to thank you guys for being on the show. Vernon, you were fascinating, and you're putting a lot of the pieces of the puzzle for me together.
Oh, thank
you.
Thank I appreciate you. That.
Yeah, no, it
I
was that was
that.
Amazing. Yeah, you know, because there's a lot of things that are brewing in my head thinking, it must be that, it must be this. And so, yeah, and it's nice to have somebody who's so steeped in such a variety of the knowledge across disciplines. So thank you ever so much. Gentlemen, thank you for being on the show. I will post it, get it out, and we'll make it all happen. Let's see what we can do. So thank you. If you're listening
yep.
to Blog Talk, always go into the Awakening Zone. Awakening Zone has over 50 hosts from all around the world, and do time in. They do classes and things like that. So all the best. Thank you, gentlemen. And with that, we're going to sign off for the AZ Awakening Zone. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Take care.
You've been listening to the Awakening Zone Radio Network, offering insights and inspiration for our evolving consciousness.